You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
We do have Buster now. That's good. Buster only. It's a man who doesn't need any introduction other than to say he's the best at what he does. And for me, a longtime great teammate as well at ESPN. Buster will be on tomorrow night, Sunday night baseball, Cards and Cubs. And I guess I should start with that crazy Rizzo at bat, 14 pitch at bat, finish it off, what, 10 foul balls, then the home run. Buster, I don't know if you were in the building for that, but if you were, maybe describe the emotion, or just the, even if you weren't in the building, the scene at Wrigley Field of a big crowd, a great rivalry, and then to see something like that unfold.
You're right, and I was not there. I just arrived in Chicago this morning, but in watching that game, it was one of the coolest things we're going to see this year, because you know, the Cubs sort of branded this game as the second opening day, you know, a Friday afternoon, beginning of a series against the Cardinals. The stands opened up really for the first time since, you know, the baseball was shut down by coronavirus and every seat filled and a lot of excitement. And to see Rizzo, who's such a fan favorite here in Chicago, you know, to go through an extended at bat like that and to, you know, help the Cubs overcome the Cardinals in a lead in that moment, it was really cool. And I'm sure for a lot of the, you know, not only for the fans, but I think probably for a lot of the players, it probably felt like the first day of summer, right? To have a moment of, like that, you know, on a beautiful day at Wrigley Field.
Right. And Buster, just watching that, the highlights on TV of just that at bat, it did feel really good to see that scene at Wrigley Field and a beautiful day, a great rivalry, traditional rivalry, and see a moment like that, it just felt good to watch. So I think that's, you just described it perfectly. Buster Olney here on 98.7 ESPN. Let's talk about something that wasn't so great, the scene of DeGrom not going back out for the seventh inning with the elbow injury. It looks like today the Mets are talking very positively about him making his next start. The signs are all good. The MRI was reportedly clean. And I'd still be concerned as a Mets fan to trot him back out there for his next start. What's your take on the way that it looks like this is unfolding right now?
Yeah, I would generally agree with you. You know, DeGrom tends to be pretty direct in his self-assessment. And you and I have talked to, covered a lot of older pitchers. They have a feel for their body, right? They understand better than anybody, especially when you get into your early 30s, your mid-30s, like DeGrom is, where you know how to push yourself. And so to hear him last night say, yeah, I've dealt with something before. I've dealt with the, you know, Tommy John surgery, and I feel like I'm okay. That all said, my rule of thumb has always been teams, players are not required to tell us all their information about their injuries or any information. It's really their prerogative. And we, as reporters, as fans, we're not required to believe what they tell us. So after watching that and to see him leave with discomfort, you hope that, you know, when he went out to the outfield today and had a throwing session that, that he doesn't have any ill effects and suddenly wakes up tomorrow with some sort of inflammation in his elbow. You definitely, the other thing too, and you know this, you know, he had his Tommy John surgery, I think in 2010.
I believe you're right.
Generally, when you talk to doctors who perform that surgery, they talk about a 7-year window before the pitcher becomes more at risk for a re-injury. So we're past the expiration date, so to speak.
Buster Olney on 98.7 ESPN. Buster, again, Sunday Night Baseball, Cardinals at Cubs tomorrow night. So let's get to a lot of baseball fans have brought up the whole idea of now with the mess that Major League Baseball is in with the sticky substance issue, spider tack, and what's going to happen now. Do you have a sort of direct protocol on, is it going to be a warning for everyone right off the bat if you're discovered to be using these substances, or could there be an immediate suspension if you're caught right away? What is going to be the level of punishment going forward?
Yeah, Ian, it's funny. I think that the warning has basically been in the form of all the public conversation and reporting on this, right? I had one source tell me, I'm glad you're writing about this. I'm glad you're talking about this, because we – really, in a perfect world, we wouldn't have to suspend anybody. Their hope is, with all this conversation leading up to Major League Baseball instructing the umpires to enforce a rule that's been on the books for a long time that pitchers who are using will clean it up. Now, the timeline is going to be along these lines. Major League Baseball is expected to issue a memo to all teams sometime in the week ahead, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Then at that point, teams will have the ability to process it with their staff, with their players. And then 3-4 days later, you know, maybe it's a week from Monday, that's when umpires are basically going to be told it's time to enforce the rules. And that's going to, what I understand, it's going to be about 8 to 10 checks per game. It's going to be like a random DUI checkpoint. Each starting pitcher might get checked a couple times a game. Position players will be told if they have some foreign substance that the umpire sees to go and clean it up. And yeah, Ian, if they catch somebody with this stuff, whether it's sunscreen or pine tar or spider tack, then that player will be subject to suspension. At the owners' meetings, they talked about 10-game suspension without pay. You've seen it historically, it's just a 10-game suspension.
Buster, if you heard what Alonzo said about, hey, let the pitchers use whatever they want for safety reasons for the batters so they can control the ball and we don't have more incidents of guys getting beamed in the head because pitchers can't control the baseball the way they want to. If you did a vote, a poll of every offensive player in Major League Baseball, would you rather pitchers be allowed to use whatever they want to control the ball for safety reasons or outlaw everything except the rosin bag on the mound? How do you think that vote would play out?
I think it's a great question, and I think there's absolutely a great parallel to what happened in the steroid era. I think if you would ask players in 96, 97, do you want drug testing, the vast majority of players would have said no. Well, in 2002, USA Today did a poll, and I think it was 81% of the players said yes. The sentiment changed because they position players, in the case of foreign substances, have realized in a zero-sum competition that they are now at a competitive disadvantage. And we're hearing more and more voices, you know, Josh Donaldson, Giancarlo Stanton, you know, even a pitcher, Alex Cobb, came out this week and said, you know, this is essentially an unfair advantage. And I understand Pete Alonso's sentiment, and that has been sort of the standard line by some players about pitchers using some foreign substances controlling the ball. The fact is, this year, we're seeing a record number of batters being hit. Like, that rate has gone up, and we know that, you know, there has been widespread use of foreign substances, and that hasn't prevented a lot of batters from getting hit this year.
Well, Buster, I know you're an extremely busy guy. Again, tomorrow night, Sunday Night Baseball, Cardinals and the Cubs at Wrigley. Thanks as always, and much appreciated, Buster. Look forward to seeing you and talking to you down the road.
Always love talking with you, Ian.
Thanks, Buster. Great stuff from him.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.